Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. I take these two verses for several reasons. One, they form the climax, the final statement in this opening salvo by the apostle. He's setting out the gospel. He begins with the plight of the human race, and that is sin, leading to the wrath of God, which has already been revealed from heaven against us. And Paul has argued this over several verses, many verses, arguing out that whether we're pagans or Jews, whether we're under the law of God like the Jews, or we're in ignorance of Scripture, but we have the light of nature and the light of conscience, we're all accountable before God, and we're all sinners. We have failed to live up to our conscience. We've not acted properly on the light of nature. If we've been given the law, if we've been given the gospel, we're under greater condemnation because we have not lived up to what God has revealed to us. And it's affected us all, it's ruined us all throughout all our entire being. And he's set all this out. It's a very black picture, a very dark, a very solemn, somber picture. Serious, heavy in the extreme plight of mankind. And these two verses form the conclusion to that argument. So that's one reason. They're the punchline, if you like. The second reason, another reason, is that they're grossly misunderstood. I'm very sorry to say that, but they were so misunderstood and misapplied that they lead to all sorts of other complications and damage in interpreting the Bible and in pastoral work and in preaching. These verses, I say, need to be understood properly. And so I spend just a little time on speaking on them. Well, there's two reasons. There may be others as well. Let me just read the verses. Remember, these lines constitute the punchline, the climax of the plight of the human race. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Now, this is commonly taken to mean we are all under the law. The law of God prepares us for Christ. We must preach the law of God. This will convict us of our sin. This will prepare us to come to Christ. It will make us, the phrase is, fit for Christ. And seeing our need and our conviction by the law will drive us to Christ, and we shall believe, and then we shall go back under the law to keep it for sanctification. But we can just leave that last bit because it's not here. But the law, apparently, from these verses, many people would say, the law prepares us for Christ. It takes away all our guilt, excuse. It shows us we're guilty. It convicts us of our sin, and it will drive us to Christ. That is all wrong. The passage does not say that at all. As I say, this is the climax, the punchline of the apostle's argument. So we mustn't forget what he said so far. Now, what has he said so far? He said it over and over again. In chapter 2 particularly, he said it very plainly. The Gentiles are not under the law. They do not have the law. So Jews and Gentiles are different in this respect. God has marked the Jews out by giving them the law of Moses. The Gentiles did not have that law. Now, Paul has taken time to argue this out. The Gentiles, even though they don't have the law, are still accountable by the light of nature and by the light of conscience. But the Jews have the light of nature, the light of conscience, and they also have the law. So he's divided the human race into two. And all men are accountable, all men are guilty, all men are silenced, because they fail to live up to the light they have. Conscience, nature, and law. But whatever light we have, the more light, the more responsible, more accountable, more opportunity, yes, but more condemnation. Because we all fail to live up to it. Now that's exactly what Paul is saying here. We know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. And the very fact he says that shows that there are some people who are not under the law. Well, in other words, verse 19, we know the law speaks to the Jews. And it speaks to the Jews, and it tells them what they have to do. And they have failed. This is what he's saying. And therefore, it shuts their mouth up. They can't brag anymore. Oh, we got the law, but the law condemns you, Jew. We got this light, but it condemns us because we've not kept to the light. We've not obeyed the light. Well, then we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. So that every mouth, the Gentiles are already silenced. They don't even have the law. They're silenced because they break their conscience and the light of nature. The Jews break it because they got the law. Paul is specifically dealing with the Jews at this stage. In chapters 2 and 3, and they're making their brag about the law. The law, says Paul, that will only hold you to more accountability. You're lumped in with the Gentiles. Don't you realize the Gentiles and Jews are not different in any respect? Oh, you've got more light. But the truth is, we're all condemned. So that every mouth, Jew, Gentile, may be silenced before God, and the whole world held accountable to God. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. Well, that's one thing. So that every mouth, Jew and Gentile, may be held accountable to God. So that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Turns his fire back on the Jew again. You can brag about the law, but the law won't save you. As he will say later on, the law, because it was weak. What the law could not do because it was weak. Not because of itself, but because of you. The law cannot make us right with God. It can only condemn us if we're Jews. Our conscience condemns us. The light of nature condemns us. The law condemns us. Through the law, we become conscious of sin. That's how the Jews could have particularly reference to their sin, because it turns sin into transgression. He would develop this argument. The point here is, though, whether we have the law or whether we don't have the law, we're accountable. Now, I can add to this now, because since Paul's day, the scriptures will be complete, and I can now say whether we have the gospel, the law, or don't. We've all got the light of nature. We've all got the light of conscience. The Jews had the law. And now the gospel is coming to the world. So here is all the light that God has given us. But none of that light is saving. Because what does it do? All it does, the more light it shows up, the more sinful we are. The more ruined we are. The more condemned we are. This is the climax. All our advantages have combined together to produce us to what? Sinnership. And add to our guilt. Jesus says, the highest sin, John chapter 3, is that you have refused me. This is the great condemnation. This is the condemnation, he says, that light has come into the world and you've loved darkness rather than light. The condemnation is that you have not believed on me, as he says in John chapter 3 and verse 19. This is the condemnation, that you have not believed in the name of the Son of God. You have not received me. Let me just read it to you. Whoever believes in Christ is not condemned, but whoever does not, this is verse 18 of John chapter 3, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's only begotten Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. John 3:36. Putting it all together, my friend, I'm addressing you now. You can't be an utter pagan without any light at all because you're listening to this sermon. It may be a weak candle flickering, but it's a bit of light for you. But let's say I address a pagan now. You have the light of nature. You have your conscience. You fail to live up to the light you've got. God holds you accountable. If there's a Jew listening to me, if I can go back 2,000 years, you brag about the law. The law will condemn you. Read your history. Read the Jewish history. They broke the law even before they had it, even as it was being given to them. The history of the Jews is law-breaking. And now I speak to you in Christendom. You have the gospel. You have the full revelation of God in His Word. You have a Bible. You can hear sermons. I say to you, you have the greater light. But the light, the Bible, the gospel, Christ, none of it is saving just by having, as it were, the light in your reckoning. Just because you hear sermons. This is what Paul is saying here. All these things come to condemn us. My friend, you are condemned, I am condemned. This is the plight we're in. This is what Paul is saying here. As he will say in chapter 3, just a few verses later, verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is our plight. Is there an answer? Well, praise God, there is. He starts now in chapter 3, 21 and goes on to the end of the book. Look how long the answer is, how full the answer is. There is a glorious answer. But will religion have the answer? Will doing my best have the answer? Will rites and ceremonies, circumcision, law, whatever you might like to call it, baptism, whatever, will any of that do anything to save me? Can I be saved by these observances? No. By these resolutions? Can I be saved by denying there is a God and become an atheist? No. Can I get out of this plight? No. By myself? No. But there is an answer. And I'll take it up in the next discourse. But in case, again, you're not going to listen to the next discourse, just read verse 21. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness comes from God. From God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, and so on. But I don't want to spoil what we have in chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Whether we have the law or don't, whether we know the gospel or don't, we're all accountable. More light, more responsibility, more condemnation. This is the preparation. We are sinners. This is the way to think about it. We are sinners. The only answer is Christ. It's not law, ceremonies, works, observations. It's trusting Christ. Christ alone is the Savior. So, my friend, in love, I tell you, you have no excuse. You're condemned. And if I left it there, it would be black indeed. I hope you will go on to read, to hear more than that, I hope now. If you've never trusted Christ, you will trust Him by looking to Him. Lord, save me from my sin. And He will.